See, all praises is due to Allah. Many times we know that there be many reasons on why different minds tries to put the light of Al-Islam out, but it won't work. Allah blessed us with a strong human voice. If you remember, for about 2 months there, we just speak from the human voice, no sound at all. Just a strong human voice. But with the help of Allah, we will have good sound. We ask you to relax yourself, to feel at home. You're not in a strange place. This is the masjid, the house of Allah. And it is maintained by the believers. So relax yourself and get yourself ready to receive a message of concern concerning the individual. Enlightenment for us. So with that, I pray Allah that it come across clear to you. We'd like to bring before you our leader, Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir.
Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. We want to read from the third chapter of the Quran, the ayah, verse 133. Let me explain the topic. Little bit that we are going to be addressing for the next 40 minutes or so, maybe. We have been just socializing and really enjoying each other's company. Brother Imam Ali Muslim and myself and others who are with us. So I didn't think to tell him what the topic was, what topic I was speaking on, until coming into the sitting area here. So I have to again give you the topic because we were just coming in, and I don't think it's kind of difficult to get the topic. The topic is the individual in the success of society. Not the success of the individual in the society, although it involves that too, but the topic is the success, the individual in the success of society. And
after you read in the journal my confession that for all these years I've been preaching, I had the wrong idea. And that idea, what I'm talking about is the how to motivate the society, how to motivate the society, how to motivate This is a bad connection we got today. Well, you should have called the white man in here, maybe. We want to handle it ourselves, but sometimes we have to call a white man. Until we can get there. We're going to have patience with each other.
Yes,
that's what's going to get us where we want to go.
Yes,
so I'm going to have patience with you, and I hope you're going to have patience with me. Yeah, so I made that confession because I was happy. I was happy to see a better way. And, you know, we can do things out of habit and not even know the extent to which habit is deciding what we're doing. And that was my situation, as it is with most of us. You know, we came from the experience of the Nation of Islam, or the Black Nation of Islam, into the environment of Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet. And we did that with sincerity. I know I did, and I know most of you did. We did that with sincerity, but many of you, like myself, I think, weren't aware of the extent to which habit was still deciding our actions, the course of our actions. And I came to realize that really the way I was approaching the need to motivate life in the society, life in the community, life in the family, life in the person, was not the Islamic prescription. It was not the Islamic prescription. It is very difficult for the average person to detect that, especially when you are interested in the group. When your concern is the group, it's difficult for you to detect that the way to get the group to go ahead is not to address the group directly, but to address the individual directly. That is what I came to see and understand in this religion. That we should stop looking to the group as the savior for society. The individual is the savior for society. Yes. We should stop looking to the group as the responsible one for the society. No, the individual is the responsible one for the society. And when, you know, we knew that in part, but I didn't know the significance, and I didn't know just how prominent that idea was in the teachings of the religion. That is the idea that stands out front, not the idea of the community. Allah, in addressing us, this is what brought it to my mind. Allah, in addressing us, hardly ever he addressed us as a group. Hardly ever he says, O Ummah. Huh? He does not say, O Ummah, O you great nation, O you who believe. That's a direct appeal to individuals who believe, not to a group. O you who believe. Now that strikes each and every one of us equally. Huh? Strikes each and every one of us equally. So now that I've cleared the air. Well, every time I make a change, I come and I look at people looking at me, where are you going now? They don't say it with their mouth, but their eyes are saying, where are you going now? Well, at least I'm going. I ain't standing still. I'm going to keep going. So the last breath is out of me. I can't help it then. I won't be in control. As long as I'm in control of my life, I want to make progress.
Yes, sir.
And that's the religion.
Praise
and we should all be that way. Let's make progress. Let's not be satisfied with yesterday or even today.
Yes,
let's do better tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Now, the I mentioned that I wanted to read. I'm going to read it now. It is the 133rd ayah of the Suratul Ali Imran, the chapter of the family of Imran. And the order comes here. It's an order. It's a command. It's an invitation. Depending on what our individual situation is, how we grasp the degree of urgency in these words. If our situation is a good situation, maybe we just say this is an invitation. But depending on the situation, this may be an urgent command. God says, "Sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin ardu hassamawatu wal ardu u'iddat lil muttaqin alladhina yunfiquna fis-sarai wad-darai wal-kadhimina al-ghayza wal-'afina 'anil-nas." And the translation for what I've read so far in the Quranic language is, "Be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord. Be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord." Now, who would think that people were in a race to get to Allah to ask Him for forgiveness? Be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord. Now, this is the race. The race is a race to get forgiveness from Allah. And this command is given to us in the together, to us as a group, to us in the mass, not singular. Sari'u, that's given to us in the group. That's the men, all of us, saying to all of us, be quick in the race for forgiveness for your Lord, from your Lord. Why should man have to be in a race toward Allah for forgiveness? Number one question. Why should we have to be in a race toward Allah to get forgiveness from Him? Because we, maybe not individually, maybe not even racially or ethnically or nationally, maybe it doesn't even include this nation. But when we look at the whole of man have been guilty of racing at something or racing for something that have brought him into disfavor. And since he raced for something that brought him into disfavor, now Allah has given him a chance to repent from that kind of racing. Repent from that. And the sign that you are ready to repent is that you won't race for anything except forgiveness from your Lord. Now, how do I get forgiveness from my Lord? I have to know what I've done. We get forgiveness from our Lord by not doing what we did to get ourselves in disfavor anymore. So rush to your Lord for forgiveness. You get into that race, and you get to your Lord for forgiveness by knowing what you've done to be in disfavor. And then don't do that anymore. What has been man's race in religion? This is connected with religion. What has been man's race in religion? Dominance over other men? What was the Crusades all about? What religion would rule this earth? What religion would prevail, would have dominance, would have influence on this earth? It was a political movement in the name of God, the Crusades. Huh? It was the Christians and the Muslims, huh? The Christians and the Muslims. But before the Christians and the Muslims, there was others. There were others. Great powers, great societies, great nations, claiming to have God in their midst, claiming to have God on their side, and going after control in the life of man and society. Huh? So that's what we must repent from.
repent from trying to gain control in the life of man and in the life of society. Repent from desiring a dominance over others. That's what you have to repent from. Now, I didn't come here to get in your business. I came in here to talk to business. Now, that's what you have to repent from. Now, look. Allah says the earth is to be inherited by my devotees. That's what he says in his book. Allah says that this earth is his. And he didn't intend it for his enemies. He intended this earth for his devotees. Allah also says, if you are indeed believers, you shall gain a superiority. That's what Allah says in the Holy Book. Allah promises us that if we are believers, we are guaranteed that eventually we shall triumph. We shall eventually become the prevailing force, the prevailing influence in the land. This is the promise of Allah. But at the same time, Allah cautions us against making the great historical mistake on the part of man and nations, the mistake of getting ourselves into disfavor. He cautions us. He says, any who desire a dominant, any who desire a dominant will not get it. If that is your aim, you won't get it. What should be your aim? To satisfy the demands on you that your Lord places upon you. That should be your aim. Man should consider what gave him that idea in the first place. What made it possible for man to conceive that idea? That he can control the earth, that he can dominate, that he can prevail over all other men and all other influences and all other nations, that he can become the ruling power, the controlling order, and bring peace and order to society or to man on earth. What gave him that idea in the first place? It was insight into the workings of creation, and that was not possible until an inspired person was blessed by God to see it. We have had great powers on this earth. Great powers, the Mongols, the Mongols and many others, great powers. But did they conceive that idea that they would be able to control and master the earth? That were the great hordes of the Mongolians. But what was their aim? Was their aim to bring about an order for the whole world? No. Their aim was just to defeat everybody and rob and take everybody's possessions. That was their aim. They didn't envision themselves bringing about any system of life or order whereby the people that they conquered would be able to submit to it and live in it and accept their state. No! They didn't perceive that. They only perceived their might, that their might was greater than the might of other men and other nations. And they were going to, by force, conquer men and conquer nations and take their possessions. But those great conquerors who envisioned not only conquering, but bringing in a state of society or an order for society that the subjects would eventually be satisfied with and be able to tolerate, they were men who had the blessing of inspiration from God come to them directly or by way of the prophets or someone else.
Now look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh was a great man, a powerful man, wasn't he? But he, though he didn't have the right idea of God, he had an idea of God. He thought that he was the embodiment of God. He thought that God, and sometime in the history of his great ancestors,
put his thought into the ancestors. That God impregnated his ancestor with the God force. say we're going to have patience, right? He being the descendant of his father, he has the God forces him. So he thought himself to be God, didn't he? And in thinking himself to be God, he was out to conquer. To conquer. To bring people under his influence, under his power. To bring them under his power and under his influence. And yes. Yeah. See, even the wire wants to talk. Wire wants to make the propagation.
Yes. So Pharaoh, in having this idea of God and thinking himself to be the embodiment of God, that God was present in him, he was the embodiment. He sought to bring all powers, all nations under his control, because he believed that his order was the ideal order. I didn't say that the man has to be right in his idea. I said that he has to have that idea, the belief that God intends it, that God is with it, that God has inspired it. Now, we know nations didn't begin on the wrong path. Nations strayed and came on the wrong path. This is our religion. So whatever insight or wisdom that Pharaoh had, he was not the inventor of that was proper knowledge, that was proper science, that was proper observation, correct observation. He wasn't the inventor of that. That was the blessing of Allah. But it was in the hand of Pharaoh. A misguided man, huh? Yes. So that's why Moses, the prophet of God, even appeals to Pharaoh, doesn't he? He appeals to Pharaoh. He questions Pharaoh's logic. Why? Because Pharaoh himself is also a testimony. La ilaha illallah. That there is but one God. But Pharaoh had blinded himself. He had gotten off track. Huh? Now, doesn't mean that Pharaoh didn't have any insight. It doesn't mean that Pharaoh didn't have any idea of what should be the order of life for man. He had much of that idea. But his great problem with himself created great problems for that idea. And he was not able to establish it. He would never be able to establish it with that situation that he was in, as God intended for it to be established. So the prophet had to come and warn this man. You are wrong. You are off track. Right? You understand? All right. Now let's look at America. America, great nation. Great nation. When we look at what it believes in, what has given it its life as a nation, the ideas from its perceivers who perceive the idea of an American nation, a new experience, whatever we want to call this American life, American vision. When we look at it, we see in it great wisdom. We see in it principles that stand up, whether it's in the Muslim territory or non-Muslim territory. But we also see great problems. We see great problems. Now, when we look at the document that this country was founded upon, the document that this country lived by, the document that represents the driving force in the life of this country as an idea, we can't dismiss that and say there is no sign of God in this. There's a great sign of God in that. And the extent to which God is present in it accounts for its life, its longevity. Am I making sense?
Yes, sir.
I hope I am.
Yes, sir.
Now, dear people, so we may have a part of the life, a part of the scheme, a part of the vision, but we may be in a situation that won't allow it to be advanced properly, lived correctly, advance properly. So God calls man to forgiveness because you have gone wrong. You have gone out to dominate, to get the upper hand, to control the state of man in society, and you're not seeing yourself involved in it. You think you're innocent. You think you're doing all this to the glory of humanity, to the glory of clean principles, etc., etc. But your vision is wrong. Your heart is tainted. Your ego is in your way, and you don't know it. So Allah says, rush, hurry, be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord. Now, I could have read for forgiveness from Allah. It could have read like that. For forgiveness from Allah. Somebody will say, it's the same. No, it's not the same. No, it's not the same. Allah is a name all-inclusive. Your Lord is more specific. Allah is very broad and all-inclusive general. Your Lord is specific. Your Lord brings that message home to you, who you are indebted to, who you are responsible to. Say, Allah, Christians say, well, that's Allah for you. The Jews say, that's Allah for you, Jehovah, Yahweh, the Lord God of Moses for us. Huh? But when they say, your Lord, the Christians say, yeah, my Lord. The Jews say, yeah, my Lord. Lord brings it right home that some force, some power is responsible for you. Responsible for your being here, responsible for your life, responsible for its plan, responsible for your development, responsible for your potential, responsible for your destiny, your law. Who raised you up from nothing. Huh? Your Lord, who raised you up from nothing. So rush to forgiveness from your Lord. Now, Pharaoh, when he hears the call of his Lord, if he understands the meaning of Lord in the Islamic context, then he starts to review his own history, the history of his growth and progress. Like one, Lord in Arabic is very close to the term parent. Parent. Your parent is Rabba, and Lord is Rabbun. They're very close together, very closely related, Rabba, Lord. Your parent is a kind of Lord in that situation. Allah is a Lord in the biggest situation. Hmm? In all situations, in the total situation, Allah is the Lord. So if we say your parent, you understand that. Your parent be the one who parents you, whether from your bloodline or not. The one who parents you, right? The one who cared for you when you were too little to care for yourself. The one who aided you along until you got on your feet or was able to go on your own, right?
Right.
Okay, well, the message is the same message to the thick teeth that think he can manage the world by himself. Your Lord said, rush, be quick, in the race for forgiveness from him. You have ability, you have talents that have obviously reached your mind because you think now you can have control all by yourself and manage the world all by yourself. So obviously you have looked at yourself and see yourself as someone who has grown and developed and have great resources. Remember when you didn't have them. Something has been responsible for you having that ability and being able to achieve what you have been able to achieve. Now you will see many influences and many persons, et cetera, in your history. that have made that all possible. But if you continue to search, you will come to the understanding that the Lord that created you was the one that made it all possible. And had he not created you that way, none of it would have been possible. So it brings us to ask forgiveness. Be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord. Now, after we have digested that much of the ayah, now let us continue. And for a garden whose width is that of the whole of the heavens and of the earth, prepared for the righteous. Prepared for the righteous. May I take this jacket off this morning? Thank you. Prepared for the righteous. Now be quick in the race for forgiveness from your Lord. That's the first condition. So what you get as a consequence now, as a consequence of you rushing for forgiveness, you get a garden whose width is as the heavens and the earth. What is a garden? A garden is a possession given to you for its development. Right?
Right.
Its development. If a man gives me a garden, that garden is for me to develop. If it's already developed, it's for me to keep this development. Huh? If he gives it to me already in a good developed shape, then it's for me to keep that good developed shape. But if he gives it to me in its version, then it's for me to develop. Yes. What is the garden? Allah makes it clear. It's the environment, all of it. The sky and the earth. He makes it very clear. Now, man, have not man, aggressive man, cocky man, as Allah says, foolhardy man, be offered the responsibility for managing the heavens and the earth, the mountains and everything. He offered it to the angels, right? He offered it to the angels. He offered it to the mountains and everything. And they all refused. But man, being foolhardy, quick just to rush into things that he's not prepared for, he accepted the responsibility. Now, that's a great responsibility. The management of the heavens and the earth. That's a heavy responsibility. So Allah let us know that's too much for man. Allah is talking to the conquerors. He's talking to the nations that think they can bring about a world order for man. That's who he's talking to. He's telling the nations and people with that kind of daringness in them and that kind of ambition, he's telling them that you're foolhardy. Man does not have the capacity, man does not have the ability to run the heavens and the earth. He can't do it. He cannot manage it. But God hasn't blocked you. He leaves the way open for you to go on and pursue that dream. Huh? Because in pursuing a dream, you're going to one day run into something that's going to be enough jolt to knock you into your senses. And you're going to realize that, no, this is not for me to manage. The one who designed it and created it must manage it. And I'm only to be his servant. It's not for me to dream up a way to bring man to peace, to bring the world into peace. But it's for me to serve the design that God has already established for that particular objective. Huh? Now let's continue. Hope we don't hold you too long here. Time looks pretty good so far. It is prepared for the righteous. So Allah is saying that he intended such glorious office or responsibility for the righteous,
the muttaqin, the regardful, those who first are regardful of their responsibility to Allah, their Lord, and then to every other sacred concern. They are the regardful. Those who spend. What's wrong with the conquerors? Can they meet this? Can they meet these qualifications? No, most of the conquerors cannot meet these qualifications because they are not repentant. They can't meet the first one. Huh? They can't meet these qualifications. Most of them cannot meet these qualifications. And they are not regardful of Allah and that which is sacred. So they have all kind of trouble trying to meet these qualifications. And they are not inclined to spend. They're inclined to hoard. They're inclined to use wealth to improve that situation of control and dominance. Not to spend it for the good of all. Right? Yeah, this is a challenge. Prepared for the righteous. Those who spend freely, whether in prosperity, that's a great test now. Whether in prosperity, because there are some great powers that in prosperity, they see that everybody got a chicken in the pot. Huh? Yeah, like one president. Everybody had a chicken in the pot. That was back there in the 30s, I think. President Roosevelt. He promised that everybody would have a chicken in the pot. Now you tell these welfare people that everybody gonna get to have a chicken in the pot, they don't even hear it. They won't even hear that promise. That was a big thing then, wasn't it? A chicken in the pot, very much. They spend whether in prosperity, they spend freely, whether in prosperity or in adversity. Most of the powers, when times get hard for them, they begin to hand back from giving to protect their security as a predominant power. We don't need to discuss that, do we? It's very clear. Now, we go on, it says, who restrain anger. This blessing that Allah offers, this great blessing that Allah offers to man, is not for those who can't restrain their anger. And it is a tendency on the part of the powerful, the mighty, that when adversity comes, they can't control their own passions. Their own passions defeat them. Huh? And the dignified image that they established for themselves in the day of good times is destroyed by the new trying circumstance. Look at this country. Sent war planes go and shoot at the private home of Gaddafi. Fire shells into the private home of Gaddafi of Libya. He's supporting these terrorists. He's involved in this. So let him see how it feels to have his own children's life threatened. Let us bomb their home. Shoot them inside their beds. Make the roof cave in on their wives, on his wife and the children. See how he likes that. That's a situation that the dignified power is put into that he's not prepared for. So his passions overcome him. Passions of revenge. Passions of disgust, resentment, anger, etc. They overcome him. And now he goes and acts like a savage. He goes and put himself in the same savage situation that he condemned in the man he's going to have. Without even having clear evidence that the man he's going at is guilty. He goes then in the same savage pose that he condemned. Huh? so we don't have to discuss this much, do we? We have living examples of what this is talking about right here.
Oh, be careful now, you know. We American citizens. That's right. That's the duty of the American citizen to uphold what is right against what is wrong. That's the duty of a Muslim. And thank Allah, that is also the duty of an American citizen.
You haven't done something to be ashamed of? Yes, who restrained their anger and who pardoned men. Who pardoned all men. This translation have all the correct. Who pardon all men. Don't discriminate against him who has pardon. Some people can forgive a member of their own race, but can't forgive a member of another race. Can forgive a member of their own family, but can't forgive the stranger next to them. Right? Yes! Who pardon all men. A qualification for those who aspire for such great office of responsibility. Where you want to be responsible for planning and securing the order for man and society. That's a big responsibility. Only Allah can do that. So you have to be such dear friends and dear Muslims, and precious lives been lost at the hands of those that he was forgiven. But his own relatives had been tortured, maimed by those people. And he said, forgive me. So those who want to aspire for that great, glorious position, they should be capable of having these actions. Huh? Yes, they should be able to forgive. Forgive those you don't like. Forgive those you hate. Forgive those that you've been trying to get at to punish them for what they did. If the situation requires it, forgive them. And no belief in yourself will grant you that power. Only a belief in Allah will grant you that power. Man has not the capacity to forgive like that unless he's obeying what he thinks is God's intention. God's will for that situation. Praise be to Allah. Now, let us continue. Those who haven't done something to be ashamed of are wronged their own soul. Earnestly bring Allah to mind. And ask forgiveness for their sins. And who can forgive sin other than Allah? And are never obstinate, stubborn and persistent in just holding on to what they think is important. And are never obstinate in persisting knowingly in the wrong they have done. You know, here again is a great trial for man. When you're just an ordinary little Joe Blow, it ain't too hard for you to say, oh, well, I was wrong. But when you done build a reputation that you don't make mistakes, and you got a great following and a great host of admirers, you got people looking at you, that's the perfect one. Very difficult to say, I have wrong. I have done wrong. And I'm wrong in this case. I accept my fault. I ask you to take a great man to do that when he's already big in eyes. And these people who aspire for dominance over man and society, they
they see themselves as great, as Pharaoh saw himself as God in the flesh. Pharaoh said, I know no Allah but me. That's what he says in this book. He said, hey, I'm coming. Hey, get my engineer. Take some off. Get my engineer. Tell him to build a tall chapel up to the sky. Tell him I want to get a look at this God, this Moses. When he drowned at the beach. A little small life raft would have helped him out. For such, now God has established with the ayah 133, 134, and 135, Allah has established the essential qualification for managing such great responsibility. First of all, you must not do it on your own accord or by your own initiative. You must do it as one being made of Allah.